Hey, John.
Oh, hey, Drew.
Hey, I got this new
video.
Hey,
car. Okay, game on. What's up?
I got a new video.
Car. God.
I got a new
video. Game on.
Yeah. I got a new video.
Car.
Game.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time. It occurred to me as I was getting ready for this, like the recording thing, you know, preparing the studio, right?
Yeah.
It occurred to me that we should have done this one like live on location.
Oh yeah.
You know, like we could have just like recorded it
outside.
Like in a cul-de-sac, you know, we just sit out there in that there's that little patch of grass or whatever in the middle of the thing that people drive around. Or
where?
Whatever. You know, and like
I know what a cul-de-sac is.
Yeah, I know, but like in some of them, they had that little center ring.
Well, I had one, but
you really? Oh, well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
But there's none here. There's none in this neighborhood.
No, we'd have to venture out somewhere. You know, we could have we could sit on the curb.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
We could sit on the curb. We could taunt cars as they pass by.
Throw rocks.
Yeah.
That's what you used to do at school, though, right?
Yeah, which was, my school was in a suburb.
There you go.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it's not happening.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in a suburb.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
Not really.
No, not a suburb in the classic definite. We're in a neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think of this area as sort of a hybrid. Mm-hmm. Kind of somewhere in between.
It's the closest approximation of a suburb you may find in a metropolitan city area.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You could say that.
I think
that's fair. It did occur to me, though, like this could be a somewhat one-sided or skewed conversation, being that neither of us technically live in like what I would construe as a suburb.
But I grew up in one.
You did grow up in one. You know, I kind of... I sort of grew up
in and out of suburbs.
Yeah, I did. In and out of suburbs.
I spent 20 odd years in a suburb.
I imagine they were quite odd.
They were.
That's what suburbs are.
I'll tell you all about it, but not yet. Do you have like a definition?
Well, yeah, I kind of do. Like, I actually looked this up.
Okay.
Like the origin of the word suburb
technically
goes back to like the ancient Rome, wherein like the it's basically a separation, a segmentation of a living area, right?
Is it suburban?
It is suburban. And it was literally in Rome, the wealthy Romans, if you will, lived up in the hills, and in the valley of Rome was where the less wealthy people lived, and that was considered suburban.
Oh, weird.
It is weird. Yeah, it's almost like an inversion of what we consider, you know.
I thought you were going to say the wealthy ones were in the suburb.
I know, it's kind of weird. Now, granted, that might not... That's one person's interpretation or one group's interpretation, but... So I think, for the purposes of our discussion... a suburb or a suburban area is a living area, residential community that is removed from a neighboring municipality, major metropolitan area, either by distance, geography, or by governance, or both.
Can you have a suburb that isn't tied to a municipality?
I don't think so. I think because technically a suburb is a it's an attachment to a greater area. So if you have something that's distinct enough from an area that it's not feeding off of that, you know, yeah. in some way having some sort of like, what's that, symbiotic mm-hmm. relationship, mm-hmm. then it's probably its own, it's like a town, it's not a suburb.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Now, towns can become suburbs, and in fact, many of them have.
Can towns have suburbs in them?
Probably, yeah. I don't see why not.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Okay, later. That's all we got. That's all I got. No, I thought this. I don't know where this will go. I don't know for a fact where yeah. this one's gonna where
it'll lead us,
careen. But yeah. There were a lot of things that were sort of floating around in my head, and I thought this, yeah. this would they would all sort of coalesce in this discussion. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. So I didn't grow up in a suburb.
What's your perspective of a suburb? Being someone who didn't grow up or live in one, you know, necessarily, what would you say? I want to get sort of your outsider's perspective on suburb life as you saw it in your life and how you would relate to it.
I think, for the most part, I have had a tumultuous relationship with suburbs. And a tumultuous viewpoint, an antagonistic viewpoint at times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the thing is, it's...
Let me stop you real quick.
Yeah.
You gave me a book definition.
Yeah.
Of suburb.
Yeah.
Give me a more emotional definition.
Oh, okay. I see it.
All right. It's right there.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
It is a state of mind. It is a, there is a sense of remoteness or disconnection, I think, that, one feels. I think it's actually like degrees of this.
Okay.
And I think this is reflected, if I may be allowed to get technical, in the actual design that we associate with the suburbs.
Okay.
So everything is, in a city, by contrast, you have stuff on top of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is dense,
mm-hmm.
and things are placed next to each other mm-hmm. that are not the same types of things.
Generally,
so you
yeah.
have like a residential area and a commercial area.
Yeah.
So a storefront on top, or an apartment on top of a storefront,
right.
or a house right down the street from a store or something
right.
like that. Right. But in a suburb, my spiritual definition of a suburb.
Yeah.
Or just in the physical parameters of it, everything is sort of broken
grouped.
Out like that.
Yeah.
So you've got like all the houses are together in yeah. one area, all the stores are together in another area,
yeah.
and they're sort of broken apart like that. And even within like those residential areas, you have like one big road that leads through an area,
mm-hmm.
and you've got little tributaries sort yeah. of feeding off of that or spinning out from that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think like in terms of the mindset,
yeah.
I think it's like you're. I just did like a.
Yeah.
Who was that? Was it Nicolas Cage? I just waved my hands.
It's his birthday
like,
yeah. as we record
Is
this.
Is it really? Oh,
today's
birthday,
his birthday.
Nicolas Cage
on Monday.
Yeah.
Today.
Today.
We're recording
January
this on a
7th.
Monday. This is Nicolas Cage's birthday.
Happy birthday, Nicolas
He's
Cage.
He's like 49 or something. But it will have passed by the time we get to.
There's always next year. You can.
Yeah,
you can
yeah. We'll do a Nick Cage episode
next year. I think the mindset in the suburbs is one of, the just this big separation. That's what I think of. I think about separation when I think about suburbs. Not
okay.
necessarily good or bad, although I think it's characterized more often as bad than good.
I think that perception of it or that assessment is one that is not shared by those who live in the suburb.
I'm probably not.
Having grown up in one, and now I, you know, for the past, you know, 7 or 8 years have lived in the city. So I've lived in both worlds. Is there another Nick Cage reference, if you like? Because as Ghost Rider, he was the only one who could walk between both worlds.
Can we, like, can we nominate him as, like, the patron saint of the suburbs?
Sure.
For the purposes of
for the purposes of this episode. So living in a suburb, you certainly don't feel separate from the municipality you're tied to. At least I never did. Because it was there. We could get to it pretty easily. You know, just a trip on the highway. And so you, in fact, feel a sense of connection, not necessarily to, well, in some senses, to the city, in that you get to share in a lot of the things offered by the city because you're so close to it, which, you know, becomes sort of a source of frustration for citizens of the city, you know, who pay the taxes to make those things possible, but then others get to enjoy the benefits. But anyway, you know, living in the suburb, you can go to the city, you can do all these things and enjoy those things, but at the same time, you are part of a community that you perceive as safe. And
in contrast to the city,
which you might perceive as unsafe,
right?
You know, the neighborhood is, there's a stronger sense of neighborhood, in my estimation, having lived in both places, because you generally in a suburb you have people setting down roots. You know what I mean? A lot of the time you have people who go, who leave a city, you know, to start a family, and are usually there for, you know, in hopes to be there for quite some time. Whereas, you know, in a city, a lot of times you have people kind of moving, you know, apart. You have a lot of apartment living, so you have people who are not expecting to stay there. In the larger cities, you have, you know, apartment living is less of a transient thing and more of a, you know, established living space. But for St. Louis, you know, people change apartments all the time. So I guess anyway, for me growing up in the suburb, and I never really thought about it on any kind of real or on a conscious level. This is just me trying to think back if I ever felt a separation, which I didn't, you know, I didn't perceive any lack of connection to the city. The other thing that kind of might sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Add to that, I guess, is that at my school, city kids were bused in to go to my school. And so you had a certain amount of mixing the cultures of city life with those kids coming in, you know, in school to some degree.
Did you ever, so you didn't perceive that you were separated from the another area, but did you, did you ever like spend a lot of time going to people's houses that
in the
were
city?
Like, yeah, further in toward the city. And did that, was that ever like, do you remember thinking this is different?
No. Most of my friends, especially as a kid, as a young, as a little kid, lived in my neighborhood, lived in my suburb. And if they didn't live in my suburb, they lived really close. So I don't think I ever ventured into the city to visit a friend.
Okay.
Now, looking, you know, knowing what I know now, having lived here for a while, I can see that that concept of separation, because I didn't know what I was missing, you know, necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like I said, like the city to me at the time was, you know, the ballpark, theaters, all the entertainment stuff.
Right.
The arch.
Yeah.
You know, things that...
Attractions.
Attractions, exactly. Yeah. The river. Mm-hmm. You know, none of it was like, I just, you know, and the city for me also was I only thought of it as downtown.
Okay.
I never realized that these neighborhoods, surrounded it. I want to be stereotyped. I want to be classified. I want to be home. I want to suburban home. Suburban home. Suburban home. Suburban home.
It's just that contrast that I think makes it that makes me think of it in sort of divided terms, because I recall, like, when I was very young, most of my friends were sort of in the neighborhood
and, yeah,
you know, like relatively close, so I wasn't going too far beyond my own street
in
order to see them. And then when I started going to school, then most of those friends lived further out, you know, and so I would go to their house, and it always seemed like it was such a long drive.
Yeah.
And, like, it felt like a completely different area.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time going to a friend's house, I was probably, like, 8, and one of my friends from, who I'd known through, like, a daycare center.
Yeah.
And I'd known him for 5 or 6 years at this point. Like, his family moved, actually, not probably somewhere around Valley Park.
Hey.
And I remember, like, in the car going out to this house and thinking, like, where in the hell am I? You know, like, I don't know that I'd ever been in that area other than going to, like, Six Flags or something. And it felt like the edge of the world to me. But part of it, I think, too, is because I think of... And this is not so much the case if you've had in a neighborhood that's been there for 50 years. You know? And suburbs in America, I think, really have been around for 40 or 50 or 60 years, a little bit more than that. But if you go, like, the contrast seems greater if you're used to an area that's been there for that long or longer, you know. And I was used to, like, you know, hanging around houses that had been there for 60 or 70 years.
Right.
And then I go to this area that doesn't even have, like, street lights, or it's not even finished.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's a street, it's a suburban residential street, but it doesn't even have houses on all sides or on, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
So it feels very like Wild West, you know, to me. I feel like I'm going out to the frontier. Or I did, you know, when I was a kid.
I mean, the neighborhood I grew up in is very different than it was. I mean, when I was really little, it was we bought the lot. I mean, we moved into a brand new house that was built for us. You know, so we got to, like, change things in the floor plan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't. I was like 3.
But you were like, up that square footage. Angela's gonna need a bigger closet.
So we moved into a brand new house, and the neighborhood, you know, in the time that I was there, grew and grew and grew. And now it's like there, I can remember that at the top of the hill, my house sat at the bottom of this hill, mm-hmm. huge hill. And at the top of the hill, it used to be, you know, you'd get to the top of it and you'd either turn right to go out of the neighborhood, or you turn left to go back, sort of, you could go in a circle and come back to where you were mm-hmm. in a way. But across the street from that exit point, there was just forest, you know,
that's crazy.
Nothing there, but, and now it's a whole other part of the suburb. They bulldoze the whole forest. There's a whole other section of the neighborhood, and they continue to expand that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. My dad still lives there. So I see it, you know, I'm still watching it kind of grow and expand. It's really strange when I think about it.
How old were you when you moved in there?
About 3 years old.
Okay, so you probably don't really remember too much about where you lived before that.
No, we lived in an apartment before that, or a townhouse type of deal. Uh-huh. It was not far from where we ended up. It was more in like Manchester area, but it wasn't a suburb. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like one of those townhouse, you know.
Yeah.
Living areas.
Yeah.
It's so weird for me to think about how much of my neighborhood when I was growing up was just surrounded by forest. Hmm. Our backyard was all forest.
That's weird.
For a long time, and then they built houses back there. There's like mythology tied to this suburb for me anyway. You know, there was a section of the suburb, like, you know, if you think of my suburb as a square, all right, mm-hmm. you're looking down on its satellite view, it's a square, okay. Right? Let's say my house is in the lower right hand corner, let's say, okay. All right. In the upper left-hand corner, so directly opposite, right, was a road, an old road that led into the woods. And if you walked far enough in there, there was this old abandoned, like, delivery truck.
Just in the woods?
Just in the woods, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff like that. And or, behind my house, you could walk down this hill, this wooded area, out into, eventually into another neighborhood. That was sort of just a smattering of homes and stuff. It wasn't a true neighborhood in the sense that you would think, you know. Yeah. It was a street. I mean, you came out onto this old street and there were a couple of houses. Yeah. There was like a, I think it wasn't a farm, but it was like a farmhouse. What looked to me like a farmhouse.
Like had been a farm at one point?
I think, my memory is pretty sketchy here, but I always thought of it as, because it had a wooden fence, mm-hmm. like barring, you know, people from getting in, and like I could see off into the forest like this house. So I always thought of that as like a farm. It wasn't a farm. Okay. It wasn't a farm, but I always sort of looked at it that way. And then they just started like bulldozing all of these sort of, you know, mysterious areas.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't like it. I mean, even as a kid, I didn't like it. I always felt like our neighborhood, you know, was a cool, secluded kind of little spot. And there were these places that we as kids could go and kind of investigate and look into. And that was always a lot of fun, you know, mm-hmm. trying to find new stuff in the neighborhood. And then all that mystery was just sort of torn, you know, away. Mm-hmm. And now it's these large homes there now that are just kind of boring and not nearly as interesting.
That's an old truck.
Old abandoned delivery truck. That's right.
Do you remember what kind of truck it was or what it delivered?
And my memory is, I think it was, a lot like, you know, a UPS truck, where it had the door on, or it had the driver's seat on the wrong side, you know?
Uh-huh.
Is that how? No, that's not how. Yeah, that's a
mail truck.
So, but it was like those, you know, brown UPS delivery trucks about that size.
How did it get there?
I don't know, man.
Did you have like rumors? Was there like stories about?
No,
like,
no. We weren't that sophisticated. I mean, we just wondered. We always wondered how it got there.
Hey,
and
that truck. Yeah. Later.
And I always wondered what, you know, what did they do with it?
Yeah.
You
mean like when they put the houses there?
Yeah,
like
as an adult
happened?
Might want
well,
they
moved
it.
The headstones, but they left the truck.
Oh, man. But I really, you know, I enjoyed that as a kid, having that kind of mystery surrounding my neighborhood. You know, and there's a whole lot of mystery in reality to it, but as a kid, you know, it was pretty wild.
Sure. We used to find bones in the front yard all the time.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Human bones?
Because the place where my house was had been a farm. And the guy who lived there. See, this is weird. Like it to me it never felt like a suburb, because I would go to all these other kids' houses that seemed to define, you know, a suburb to me. And all of my friends as a kid were living in, you know, like brownstone style, you know, just brick flat, you know, houses and stuff like that. But like my parents built our house, you know, they had it built. And it was on land. It went up in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that land prior to that had just all been a farm. But yeah, I used to find bones. Yeah. I'd be mowing the lawn, and
what
I would find
what kind of bones?
Like dog bones or
ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when you first find a bone, you're like,
yeah,
it's a dinosaur bone. I found a dinosaur, Mom. And it's, you know, your mom looks at it and is like, well, it's probably a dog or a coyote or something.
Oh, man.
And then you're very deflated. And suddenly that bone, you don't care about that bone.
Who cares?
I mean, like, you want to sleep with that bone when you find it. You're like, this is my bone. And then when it turns out that it's just, you know, a dog or something like that.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Big deal.
And your friend's like, hey, what happened to that bone? You're like, I don't know.
Find dog bone any day of the week.
We'll go over to your house. I don't like this.
The big thing in my neighborhood growing up was sledding, you know, when it snowed and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thing about that suburb, it was very, when I was a kid, it was very communal. And there were kids in the neighborhood that I always hung out with and played with. And that's maybe that I perceive as one of the biggest differences between city life and suburb life.
That you are friends with the people in your
area? Not necessarily, but that there are a lot of kids. I mean,
and
that's another thing that sort of, you know, I remember recently talking about this with my mom, and as far as like Halloween is concerned.
Right.
So our neighborhood was packed. I mean, on Halloween night, there were, you couldn't move for kids in costumes.
Yeah.
And that was because we moved in there at a time that everyone else is moving in and starting families. So you had all of these young families with little kids, you know, growing up at around the same time and the same age. And so like things like Halloween night or, you know, snow days, we were all out.
Everybody appreciates it on the same level.
Yeah. And so there were tons of kids to, you know, play with and do these things with.
That's good.
And you know, now having lived in a few different neighborhoods in the city, you know, I don't see anything like that at all.
Ever.
Never have I seen it
at all.
That's not totally true. My my friends Brett and Julie live in a part of town where there's like this roving group of kids on bicycles.
Oh, nice.
And there's one
like
kid
patrolling.
Yeah. Well, there's one kid in particular who's like a real smart aleck, and he even accosted me at one point. I can't remember what he asked me some stupid question. And they've said that this one kid is like the ringleader. And
nice.
He goes around like asking weird questions and they, yeah.
What does he do? Like, how does he approach you? Like while you're in your car or
when you're getting out of your car?
He'll walk up to you and
yeah,
be like,
ride up to you. It's on his bicycle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What kind of question?
I can't remember. I cannot remember. It's the type of thing that a kid would think is funny, you know? Uh-huh. Like they're going to catch the adult off guard or like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't think of an example.
That's funny.
Yeah. We used to do that. No, we didn't ask adults weird questions, but we rode around on our bikes a lot. And
yeah, sure.
You know, just in the neighborhood.
You rode your bike, but like you had like destinations that you could reach on your bike.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Used to go
yeah.
to get a Slurpee or whatever.
I would.
Go get...
videos.
Video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's sort of separate from what I perceive as the suburbs too. Like mm-hmm. none of the friends that I would go over to their houses in sort of these outlying areas, like they were never allowed to go anywhere on there. And there was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You know? Like you would have to ride a mile or whatever to get to a Blockbuster or something like that.
And
you know, it wasn't like maybe it wasn't so far in distance, but you would have to cross these like huge
thoroughfares with
yeah.
you know absurd traffic. Yeah, exactly. No, well, and I wonder now if that kind of thing is still as is still done, you know, in suburbs. Mm-hmm. If they still let kids kind of do that kind of thing, because you know, you got kids getting snatched all the time and what have you. Like I said, there was a perceived safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it really safe? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Hard to say.
Especially in this day and age.
You know, I recognize that, like, I think it always seems like things are more troubling than they used to be.
Yeah.
In that regard, like, you know, the potential pitfalls of modern life, whatever.
Sure.
But man, I remember like being 5 or 6 years old and just convinced that every child I knew was going to get kidnapped at some point.
Really?
Like I remember, yeah, like seeing TV movies all the time about kids who got kidnapped.
Cause you lived in the city.
It was like an awareness campaign.
Yeah.
In the city.
I had no
you don't remember
like
I know my name is Steven or
what?
Yeah, there was a TV movie. It was like kid,
this
he's
kid
like,
knew
I know
his
my
name?
First name is Steven. That was all
that's
he knew,
all he knew.
Of his old life. Like he'd been kidnapped or whatever
what
and raised as another
hell?
Kid. I'm serious. There's a whole rash of these movies.
I know
and
my name
stories.
Is Steven.
The kid
is it based on a true story?
Yeah.
Oh,
they always were. They always were. Nobody did. Nobody came up with these stories. Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe they embellished
them. No sane man would.
Yeah.
I know.
But that one guy, the America's Most Wanted guy, John
yeah,
Wall.
Yeah, sure.
His kid. Like, that happened, like, I was like, 3 or 5 yeah. or something when that
I
happened.
Didn't watch it. The show scared me. I didn't watch that.
No, I mean, this was before the show. His son got
killed. Yeah. But his show was about people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
About people.
About people.
No, I had no... I mean, you know, you're brought up to be like, don't talk to strangers and yeah. avoid weird people and what have you, right?
Yeah.
But I never, in my neighborhood, except for one person, ever thought that there was any danger.
Now, there, did you think that there was danger beyond your neighborhood?
Yeah, I mean, you like the city. Mm-hmm. I could never imagine being alone in the city, you know, as uh-huh. a kid. But I was fine to be alone in my neighborhood, walking around. You know, like walking home from a friend's house at night would be no big deal to me
right.
in the neighborhood. But if you had plopped me down in the city, even in a nice neighborhood in the city, I'm sure I would have been afraid.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's due more to just, you know, an unfamiliarity
yeah.
with the where I am, or if it's because of some preconceived notion of mine as
that,
a kid.
That yeah, like well, and vice versa. Like I mean, not that I've ever been terrified, you know, like in a suburban neighborhood or whatever. But like I have, but not because it was a suburban neighborhood. No, but
yeah.
like I think yeah, like if you are not familiar with it. If you have like these two separate areas,
yeah.
like, so I could go down a street that looked like my street,
yeah.
even though I'd never been down it before,
yeah.
but I would walk down it and I'd be like, eh,
yeah,
it's fine. It's just a street. But I go to another kid's house who's like a half hour away. And the minute I like, if I like cut through somebody's lawn and then I like turn around and I'm like, I don't recognize any of these houses.
Yeah.
And then I freak out because I don't know where I am. I don't
yeah.
you know. And I think like this is neither here nor there, like not good or bad, but like most of the streets that I grew up on were very like, they conformed to the same like pattern. It was
yeah.
all grid, you know, it was all
yeah.
more or less. You would turn a corner and you knew that eventually you would hit another street and
yeah.
you could turn another corner, you know.
Yeah.
But like stuff that's that doesn't have like a pattern to it, or
yeah.
doesn't seem to have a pattern to it. Like roads just kind of wind
yeah,
in whatever
yeah,
direction
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, based on the
exactly.
terrain. Man, that's you
well,
don't know what's around there.
I think you touched on something that I would have felt too as a kid is. I think as a kid, if you'd plopped me down in any given suburb neighborhood, I would have been like, well, it's probably, I don't know where I am, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
probably not in any danger.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I would have thought I was in danger or potential danger uh-huh. if you put me in the city somewhere. But again, it's perceived.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? And what I think is interesting is that in the city, there is a perceived lack of safety, but it's very, it's on the face of things, you know, you mm-hmm. walk down a city neighborhood and, you know, you're maybe on your toes more and because you expect things to be more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a suburb, the danger is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're a little more relaxed, so it's actually kind of more dangerous.
Yeah, because your guard is down.
And your guard is down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in a rough...
mean streets of...
Ashley is rolling her eyes at me right now. I wanted to talk about an instance in my suburb life that mm-hmm. Resonates with me, and it was a brush with not with danger, but what I was like, I'm in a lot of trouble for this.
Oh, awesome!
I don't know if I ever told my parents about this. I might have, but so what we used to do in my neighborhood is we'd play hide and seek, you know, right? But we'd use the whole neighborhood. I mean, you could hide anywhere and... in the suburb.
Okay,
and it's not a small
a pretty
place.
Big canvas, yeah.
yeah, and it was just big enough for that to be like a lot of fun, right? You
yeah.
could be anywhere, but small enough that it wasn't ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So we'd at, and a lot of times at night we'd do this, play this game. and I can't remember if this particular instance was at night or not, but we're playing hide and seek, whole neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. Bunch of us, bunch of kids. After one round in particular, we'd all, you know, kind of reconvened after everyone would be found or what have you. And a cop showed up. He pulled up. And, like, I think it was, we actually maybe finished playing, so some kids had left. Mm-hmm. And this cop pulled up, and he came, like, he stopped us, and he came up to us. And we were, like, literally in someone's backyard, and he came back there. And he was like, "What are you kids doing?" Mm-hmm. And we're like, "We're playing hide and seek." I can't remember how old I was. Not that old. I mean, I think I was probably like 11 or 12. And they're like, "Well, we got a report of someone trying to break into a house." And
oh,
we're
he
like,
was so lying. He was so lying.
And we're like, "What?" And he says, "You know, someone called because they saw one of you kids climbing onto the deck of somebody's house." And what had happened, and it, so one of us had this one guy, this kid who was older than us, a lot of us, he was probably a teenager at the time, had literally climbed up onto someone's deck to hide. And a neighbor had seen him doing that and called the police.
And assumed that he was,
and he, by that point, had left. He had gone home. And
oh,
so,
man.
Like, the guy,
took the fall.
The cops took our names.
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, my God, I am in so much trouble. My parents are going to be, like, I'm going to get arrested right now." And, you know, we didn't. Like, the cop left us eventually.
What I love about that is that, like, the dangerous element was you know, summoned there to protect the people of the neighborhood. And it backfired for you, anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
That reminds me of a time. So, the... I went to visit a friend. I traveled with a couple of friends to a suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
Which it's like, to me, it sort of is like the suburb of all suburbs. It's like the most suburb you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Called Naperville.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I have a.
Yeah. Naperville.
Haven't I talked about my experiences in Naperville?
Naperville?
Go on.
Really? Everybody's been to Naperville.
Who hasn't?
That is the weirdest thing,
isn't
though,
it?
Because it's such a, it's not a big place.
No, it's not.
And it's like 45 minutes from Chicago or something
right.
like that. I mean, it's not like right next door, you know. It's basically in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But
it is. It's really in the middle.
It's like right by farmland. There's like nothing there on the outskirts. But so a friend of mine, his girlfriend grew up there. And we were all, a few of us, this is like right either during college or right after college, drove up there to so he could visit her, and we just were going to go to Chicago for, you know, a couple of days. And he drove his car, and so he would go out at night and go visit with his girlfriend, and we would be staying at his aunt's house.
Uh-huh.
And there was like three guys, me and two other guys.
Yeah.
And so we would have to sort of fend for ourselves and figure out what to do in Naperville. You know, we don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And there is no night scene in Naperville.
No,
you know,
yeah.
You can't, like, there are no clubs or, you know, there aren't really any bars that I can recall. But we ended up going to Hollywood Video and renting a movie.
Yeah.
And we're walking back to the aunt's house. We're walking through the alley behind the thing, the shopping center, right? Like behind a strip mall, basically. And cop comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he shines his little light on us, you know, whatever. And he's like, "What are you doing there?" And we're like, "Renting videos." And he's like, "What do you mean renting videos?" And so we like hold up the little Hollywood Video case and we're like, "Renting video cassettes, sir." And he says, "Why didn't you drive?"
Yeah.
"Why aren't you driving? Why are you walking?"
Right.
And we said, "We don't have a car." And then he says, "Why don't you have a car?"
This guy, man.
I know. This is it. This, like,
yeah.
I came out of this experience completely hating suburbs.
To be fair, this is totally foreign to this guy.
Oh, no.
Why
sure.
is anyone walking
Why
anywhere?
Why would you walk in Naperville? Yeah. Literally right around the corner.
I mean,
like half mile at the most from this house we're walking. And we said, "We don't have a car." and you know, we're staying with our friend's aunt. He's got the car. We don't have a car. Where are you going? To our friend's aunt's house, yeah. Like we just said. And then he's like, he starts like, you know, being like, oh, are you trying to argue with me? And at this point, I don't remember what I said, but I said something sort of like under my breath.
Oh, man.
And he's like, what was that? And my friend was like, very quickly covered. He had a bag of cotton candy. He's like, fluffy stuff? Would you like some fluffy stuff, sir? And the cops drove off.
Wow.
But that, like, that experience to me, like, sort of encapsulated what at the time, and still to a certain degree, like, I perceive as being, like, the Dante's Inferno of the suburbs, you know? Like, the idea that, like, you buy into this living area on the pretense that it's safe. Like, you're sort of buying into safety and, like, value, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have a valuable home, or, you know, you're going to get...
Sure.
You're investing, right? And that this is what they're afraid of.
Like, yeah.
This is all the police had to
these
do
kids.
There. They would, yeah.
Renting videos.
Renting videos.
These video renting kids.
The Muppet movie. The Muppet movie.
What do you got in that bag? I have a Naperville story. I went to Naperville in my 20s, mm-hmm. early 20s. Like I was may have been 20.
It's
literally.
Like a pilgrimage in your early literally. 20s. You go to Naperville.
And I was going. Oh, well, you know what? I was going because I had plans to move to Chicago. To go to school there.
Heard this. Oh, okay. Yes, I have heard that.
You have heard this.
Well, I've heard the part that you were going to Chicago.
Yeah, I was going to go to film school in Chicago. So I thought, so, and my sister's mom, lived in Naperville and she had asked if I could house sit for like a week.
Okay.
Right. And, so I was like, yeah, totally. Cause then I can like kind of scope out maybe places to live because the college had no dorms. It was dormitories. It was the campus was literally in Chicago, in the city. So there was student living, but it was going to basically be like, you know, you get an apartment.
Right, right.
It wasn't going to cost much less. So I thought, okay, well, I'll scope sort of the city out while I'm there. What this became was the first time that I would ever get drunk.
In Naperville.
In Naperville. I never thought about that.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
So what happened was... I took my friend, former archive guest, Brett, with me on this trip. I think he had even said, like, you know, we're going to get you drunk. This will be the, you know, first time. Mm-hmm. And so he brought, like, rum, I think, with him. And one night, you know, this will be the night. And we're at my sister's mom's house, so we didn't like go anywhere because we were underage,
right? Sure.
And we're a year underage, by the way.
Everybody in Naperville is underage.
I was 20 years old. This is my first time getting drunk because I didn't drink. I was not, you know, I had no reason. Not that I had reason this time, but so we brought a bottle of rum and. So, like, we didn't even do anything. We were like, okay, tonight, we'll, you know, we're going to stay in and drink. And so what we did is we started the evening off on the the back porch. We just sat in the backyard because she had dogs, which is why we're house sitting. There were like three dogs, so we let the dogs out and hang out in the backyard, and we drank. There was no Coke in the house, so we used root beer, which we had bought. So we drank rum and root beer.
Man, I want to make this concoction right now.
It was good. It was good. So I'm drinking and I'm like, this is, you know, no big deal here. And but as the night progresses, I'm getting more and more drunk. Mm-hmm. So eventually it's the point where I am really, really drunk and we're done with being on the porch. And he's like, we should go, or maybe I suggested, I don't know, we should walk around the neighborhood, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is like at, I don't know how late at night, but it's at night. There's no one out. And so we go and we just walk around the neighborhood and I think it's great. This is so much fun, you know, like I'm drunk and I'm walking around this weird neighborhood in Naperville. And at one point we came upon a house that had, and this will sort of show you what kind of like what kind of person I am, I guess. We come upon this house and I guess the next day was trash day. Uh-huh. So everyone has their trash
Garbage
cans out.
Day.
Everyone has their trash cans out. And one person was throwing away tiki torches. You know, those mm-hmm. long poles. And
yeah, that you like put around your patio yeah. or whatever. Yeah.
And so I was like, man, let's take these and pretend like we're wizards. And so... Brett was totally game, and so he grabbed a couple of those, and, you know, I can't remember what we did. We just pretended they were wizard staffs. At some point, we lost them. Like, we got rid of them at some point. Uh-huh. And we had made our...
Did you light them? Did you,
like... No, we had no lighter. Man, that would have been great.
Yes. That would have attracted the cops.
So eventually we make our way like out of the suburb itself. We're like, we haven't left the suburb. We're basically on the other side of the fence. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So a lot of times, you know, they're right next to a major kind of road, right? So we're on the sidewalk next to that road. And to the left of us is the neighborhood. To the right of us is the road. Uh-huh. We're walking along and eventually, like, I realize I'm on the ground. I've fallen. I didn't even know. And I pull myself back up. We continue down, and I see a CD out in the road. And I'm like, I wonder what's on that CD. So I go out, you know, I make sure it's safe. I'm still aware of, you know, being safe. And like I said, there's nobody. The road's empty. So I run out, and I grab this CD, and it's like a blank CD. There's nothing written on it. I'm like, what's on here? God, I have to know. So I'm like, let's hurry, let's go back to the house and let's find out what's on this disc. And so we make our way back. We get inside and I'm like fumbling to get my shoes and because I really want to know what's on the CD. And we finally get into the stereo and it's like a mix of hip hop songs and the song Big Pimpin' comes on by Jay-Z. And I'm like, I love this song. And what we then proceeded to do was, because we couldn't find a stereo, we put it in the computer to play. Uh-huh. So we're in the basement where the computer is, and I get on the elliptical machine. Do you know what these are?
Yeah.
And I'm like ellipticizing to Big Pimpin'. I'm like having a blast. And then we're like, we should go play. Let's play Halo. Let's play Halo right now because we thought it'd be fun. You know, a lot of fun while you're drunk. I literally had to crawl up the stairs at this point. I couldn't walk. We tried to play Halo. It was no good. I mean, we could not. And so eventually we went to bed, and I remember, like, thinking, oh, my God, the room is spinning. I never believed that. Do you know what I mean? When people would say the room was spinning, it's like, it's not.
Yeah.
But it was. I was like, oh, my God, it's true. The next morning, I woke up still a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal. And it all happened in Naperville. this strange occurrence. You know what I mean? And it's impressed in my memory so strongly, and maybe it's because it happened in Naperville. It's a foreign land. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what happened to our wizard staffs? I honestly don't remember.
Maybe you exchanged them for that season.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we found like a gnome or some sort of goblin.
Man, if a gnome, if there are gnomes, they probably live in Naperville.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a magical land.
It is.
Filled with intrigue and mystery, mysticism. It's a weird place, though. I mean, you know, it's so my suburb growing up, you know, while it's certainly more spread out than the city, it's still kind of dense as far as a suburb goes. Mm-hmm. Because the houses, you got a pretty fair amount of houses in this one suburb, and then the sort of retail commercial area that's nearby is also fairly, you know, dense for in terms of suburbs, I would say. Mm-hmm. But this place in Naperville, like, there was nothing. It was sprawl. I mean, it was really the definition of sprawl.
Yeah,
where you had this neighborhood where we were staying, and it was just that. That's all there was not miles, but, you know, like, maybe it was a mile down the road to, like, the nearest shopping center or what have you. And so you really felt, really secluded. I could see the separation idea there, especially mm-hmm. because, like you said, the city is 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not anywhere near the shadow of Chicago.
No, yeah, you can't can't even see it.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I feel like you could live in Naperville. Like, if you could grow up in Naperville and not go to Chicago, and you would have, like, basically, like, the same perception, you know, mm-hmm. as somebody who lived 6 hours away from Chicago.
It's
that distinct from the city. But
strange. But what they do is they have a train that goes out.
Yeah,
you could take the train into the city.
Yeah,
you know, and so I think that's why that's allowed for that suburb to still feel tied to Chicago in some ways, because they have these trains that go out there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with St. Louis, there's no train system other than the Metrolink, right?
Yeah.
That goes very far outside the city. And so there's a point at which you do get far enough from the city to where, you know, you wouldn't really associate yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, growing up, if you asked where I was from, I could say St. Louis and feel confident in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I still felt like we were part of that greater mm-hmm. kind of collection. You know what I mean? Now, actually living in St. Louis, it's, you know, I don't know that I would claim that if I lived out where I used to live.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a St. Louis thing or if that's everywhere. It'd be interesting to, like, hear from people who live in another area that has such a, like, a distinct separation, you know, between
two. That should be like a reader poll or a listener poll.
If
you live in a suburb of a city, let us know if you feel like you could claim I live in, like, it's somewhere city. Like, where are you from? As a way to just, like, kind of get away from the question. You don't want to get into detail.
Right.
Would you say, oh, I'm from, and say the city name?
Yeah.
Or would you be specific about the actual township or whatever? Yeah.
Nobody says they're from Naperville.
Nobody ever does. You're not allowed to.
You can't. Yeah. They don't let that out.
No.
You're not allowed to leave Naperville.
No. So that's it. So if you're a listener, please do, like, comment.
Yeah.
Either on the website or on Facebook and let us know.
Yeah.
If you would claim to live in the city, if you don't live in it.
Not that we're leading you in any particular way.
No.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess we better throw this one in the archive and.
All right.
Get home.
Yeah, we gotta. It's a short.
We gotta
walk.
Get off this curb. Yeah.
Kyle Mann's coming back later, and if we're still here, he's going to shit Twinkies.